Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the pastors here at church. I just want to extend my personal welcome to all of you here this morning and happy Easter from my family to yours. I'd like to say hi and happy Easter also to our friends joining in from all over the world through YouTube and podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm so excited today, but I was told that I was not allowed to go into the bouncy castle, unfortunately. I need to lose weight a little bit more before I can make it. But this morning, as I was singing there together with all of you, and when we were singing that song, how death was arrested and how Jesus defeated death, and I look at that cross and it was lighting up, and I couldn't help but just I just cried, because this is not work for us. This is not ministry for us. This is our life. It is. And this morning, if I could magically transfer how I felt just then to all of you, how much love that I felt from seeing that cross from our Lord Jesus Christ, it was just truly, truly amazing. And I hope by the end of my sharing this morning, all of you would be able to feel that love again, for those of you who probably have left that love a long time ago. And for some of you who have never experienced that love, I'm praying, all the Christians here, I believe, are praying as well, that by the end of this, all of you will be able to experience that love together with us, because that's exactly the reason why Jesus came into our world. Before I begin my sharing this morning, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. So if you have the faith for it, why don't you join me in praying to God. Father God, we thank you so much for what we have experienced this morning. God, we know that you love us so much. And God, I pray this morning, for whatever reason that we came to church, maybe we got invited here, maybe we didn't even want to be here, but I believe, Lord, everyone is here for a reason. So I pray that you speak to us like only you can, because we need you. We need your word. We believe that you have something special to say to every single one of us this morning, and we are ready to listen. We pray and ask you this in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Imagine you received a letter, a very formal-looking letter from a lawyer's office. And inside that letter, it said that some distant relative that you never heard about had passed away and had left you with millions and millions of dollars. What would you do? Now, maybe the first thing you do would be, you would be skeptical, because nowadays there are a lot of scams out there. You know, you can't believe everything that you see. But maybe you check it out, because we're talking about millions and millions of dollars here. You never know, the stake is really high. I won't be surprised if you actually would check it out first to find out if it's really the truth or if it's a scam. Am I right? Now, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe for many of us, that's exactly how we feel. You know, we are skeptical about the whole resurrection thing. We're not sure if it really happened or not. But let me tell you, the stake is so high, I want to encourage you to at least check it out for yourself. Before you decide it's a scam, before you decide it's a hoax, because of the how high the stake is, you know, you wouldn't be wrong to check it out first. And let me tell you what the stake is. The stake is not millions and millions of dollars. The stake is actually your life and mine. Not only your life in this world, but we're talking about your life after this world is all over. If you believe there's life after death, that is what is at stake. You know, at one point, Jesus said his very famous verse in the whole, you know, collection of writings that we call the Bible. Many of you, even if you didn't grow up in church, maybe you've heard this verse before. And if you grew up in church, maybe you're sick and tired of hearing this verse again. But let me tell you, this verse is so powerful, all right? I mean, we could spend 15 minutes right now just meditating on this verse, and it would be a time well spent, let me tell you. Of course, I'm talking about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Just reading it makes me just... For God so loved the world. And when we read that, we always read it to exclude ourselves. We don't think that this includes us, you know. But it doesn't say, for God so loved the good people of the world. Jesus didn't say, for God so loved the religious people of the world. No, for God so loved the world. Even the vilest offenders, even the worst criminals, we're part of the world. For God so loved you, for God so loved me, that he gave not his many sons, he only had one son. He gave us his one and only son so that whoever believes in him. And that's the amazing thing. A lot of people think Christianity is about behaving. It doesn't say that. A lot of people think Christianity is about performing religious duties. A lot of people think Christianity is about going to church, reading your Bible, fasting, praying, and giving, and all that stuff. But no, it says, for God so loved the world that you don't have to do anything. Yeah. It doesn't say, for God requires from us. Yeah. No, he gave. Yeah. He didn't ask anything from you. Right. He just gave his very best, his son. So that whoever believes in him, that's all you need to do. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, all of us are in the same boat. We are on the way to perishing. The statistics on death is pretty amazing. One out of one person dies. That's pretty amazing, right? We're in the same boat. I'm no better than you. That's why I love our slogan, No Perfect People Allowed, because our boat is sinking. All of us are in this boat. And we are all on the way to perishing, all of us. But Jesus says, whoever believes in me shall not die, shall not perish, but instead they will have eternal life. And you get that only by believing in Jesus Christ. And that is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Now, this is what's at stake. The question is, how do we know this is true? How do we know Jesus can be trusted, right? I mean, if he promised us eternal life, you know what he needed to do? He needed to defeat death in order to prove to us that he really could give us eternal life. You got me? Yeah. If you're looking for a personal trainer, what do you look for in a personal trainer? If you hire a personal trainer and he shows up looking like me, fire him. Let me tell you, right? You don't want a flabby, fat personal trainer. You need someone to look like, you know, who looks like Rohan. Like, ugh. It makes sense, right? You promised me fitness, you better be fit yourself. Am I right? It makes sense. You know, if you're looking for a financial planner, you find out how is his finances, how is her finances, right? If they're bankrupt, you don't want to hire them to be your finance manager. You see, for Jesus to promise us eternal life, he had to do one thing. Right. He has to defeat death. Yeah, there's no other way. Right. There's no other way. And that's exactly what he promised us he would do. This is amazing. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21, you know, 6 months before his death, Jesus said this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things under the hands of the religious leaders and all these people, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, this is just one. Let me tell you, if you open the pages of your New Testament, the biographies of Jesus Christ written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find Jesus giving this prediction over and over and over again. He used Jonah as an example. You know, even the religious leaders knew about this, you know, and they asked the Roman people, hey, make sure you put a big boulder on his tomb because, you know, this delusional guy, he promised to be raised to life on the third day. So everybody knew what he was talking about. So the question is, And it's one thing for you to promise, promise whatever you want to promise, and there's another thing for you to be able to deliver on that promise. Am I right? Yeah. So Jesus promised that he's going to die. He knew it. You know, in another passage, Jesus said, nobody took my life away. I gave my life away. I'm in control of my life. You know, I can take it back too. That's what Jesus said. And then he really delivered on his promise. You know, Andy Stanley once said, if someone can predict their own death and resurrection and actually pull it off, you'd believe everything that he says. You would want to, right? Because who else in history that you know of that has done this? Who knows? Nobody. Only Jesus can pull this off. So the question I want to pose to you this morning is this. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? You know, this is the anchor of the Christian faith, let me tell you. This is the anchor of the Christian faith. And this is a very important question for all of us to ask. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian, I just want to, you know, acknowledge your presence here. I'm so grateful that you are here to listen to this. This question is important, not just for the Christians, but also for the non-Christians. Especially, I would say, for the non-Christians. Now, if you believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, you know, that means game on, right? All things Christian, game on. Right. But if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, that means we might as well close shop because it's game over for us. Yeah. That means we're still dead in our sin. That means we have no hope of resurrection. That means we have no hope of eternal life. But if this were true, if Jesus really rose from the dead, you know what that means? It's game on, people. Yeah. That means when he said, if you believe me, I could give you eternal life, that means you should believe him for it. Yeah. And that means for all of us Christians as well, if you really believe this to be true, then it's game on. No more half-heartedness about our Christianity. No more half-heartedness about following Jesus Christ. Right. Because that means he deserves everything that we have, right? So with the time that I have left, I want to examine this. I want to talk to three groups of people this morning. The first group of people I want to talk to is those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but you wonder, you know, at different points in your life if this were all true. Maybe you've experienced death in the family and suddenly death, you know, becomes personal to you and you're wondering if you'll be able to see them again. And sometimes you have this lingering doubt a little bit here and there. I want to speak to you. I want to assure you that there is such thing as the resurrection. That those who fell asleep in Christ, you know, will be risen first and then we will join them later on. I want to assure you of that. I want to speak to you. The second group of people I want to speak to are those people who wonder if the resurrection is real. Maybe you're thinking, man, you know, 21st century, I'm not sure if this is all true. I don't believe that at all, you know. The only people who rose from the dead are people from TV, but other than that, you know, I don't really believe it. Maybe that's you, and I appreciate you thinking that way because I used to be that way too. I used to not believe in the resurrection at all. I grew up in a non-Christian home, and I was as skeptical as they come. So I understand you. So I want to speak to you as well. And then the last group of people I want to speak to are those who wonder if they could believe again. You used to be a Christian. Maybe you used to go to church. Maybe you've been baptized even. And then you grew up and then you ask these tough questions and you keep receiving these Sunday school answers and you suddenly realize, man, this is not the stuff that I can believe in anymore. And you stop going to church, man, and you stop believing in Jesus altogether. I want to speak to you as well, those who wonder if they could believe again. All right? Now, I want to begin at the very beginning so that we are all will be on the same page, okay? Because for some of us, we equate Jesus and then we group Jesus in the same category as the Easter Bunny, as Santa Claus. We didn't even believe that he was a historical figure, okay? So I want to start right there. And this a couple of quotes I want to give you. This is very important. In case you're wondering, you know, can you be smart? Can you be intelligent and believe that Jesus was a real historical figure? The answer is absolutely yes. In fact, it's actually quite the opposite. If you don't believe Jesus was a historical figure, you would be the odd one out compared to not just the Christians, but among the non-Christians as well. Listen to this quote from Barth Ehrman. He said, Jesus certainly existed, as virtually every competent scholar of antiquity, Christian or non-Christian, agrees. You know, you don't need to look too far. You just go to your local library and grab a book by Josephus. He was a Roman historian, not a Christian, and he wrote about, in quite details, the life of Jesus Christ as a person, not as a God, not as a savior, but historically, you know, he wrote, you know, a lot about Jesus Christ and his followers. Or you can read Philo. He was a Greek historian, also not a Christian, and he wrote about Jesus as well. So you don't even have to be a Christian to believe that Jesus was a real historical figure. Another quote from Michael Grant. He's a secularist, you know, he's a novel writer. He said this: no serious scholar has ventured to postulate the non-historicity of Jesus, or at any rate, very few, and they have not succeeded in disposing of the much stronger, indeed very abundant evidence to the contrary. So, Jesus was a real historical figure. Okay, I got that. Okay, I mean, I can believe that. But why should I believe in the resurrection? That might be your question still. Why should I believe in the resurrection? And a lot of people who don't believe in the resurrection, like I was, you know, I used to be, because I didn't believe in the supernatural. I used to not believe in the supernatural. I just didn't think miracle was possible. So I would put it something like this. Maybe this is your thinking. I've never experienced a miracle, therefore miracles cannot happen. And there are two things that are wrong with this statement. The first one is this. Just because you have never experienced a miracle in the past, it doesn't mean you cannot experience miracle in the future. Am I correct? Because you haven't lived long enough until the end of your life to know this statement for sure. You see? The first part of the statement may be true. I've never experienced a miracle, but the conclusion is wrong. Therefore, miracles cannot happen because you haven't lived all your life to be able to make this statement. That's number one. The second thing is this. When you say I've never experienced a miracle, it doesn't mean other people did not experience a miracle. It doesn't mean miracle did not exist. So you cannot use this as a reason to not believe in the resurrection. Because just because you didn't believe it, just because it didn't happen to you, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. All right? Because you did not live the lives of other people. Yeah. The second reason is this. For people who don't believe in the resurrection, they will say things like this. Unless it can be scientifically proven that Jesus rose from the dead, I would not believe it. I need it to be scientifically proven. Well, you know, it's great, and that's true. We cannot prove Jesus' resurrection scientifically. But this statement is true as well. I got this. This is an amazing quote as well. Science cannot prove that a miracle can or cannot happen. Sure, you cannot prove the resurrection scientifically, but you also cannot disprove it scientifically. Science merely looks at an event and seeks to explain it from the vantage point of natural causes. In other words, science just explains things how they usually are, regularly. That's what science is all about. You know, English is not my first language, as some of you probably could tell. And when I was learning English the first time, you know, we learned all the rules of grammar. And if you know anything about English grammar, it has a lot of exception, doesn't it? I was told, you know, I before E, except after C. And then sometimes I is pronounced as I, sometimes it's pronounced as E. You know, it's very confusing. You have a lot of rules, but there are a lot of exceptions to the rules as well. Yeah. You know, but now my English is so much better, I can read that excite. You know, it's very, very good. Miracle is just things, you know, thing that happens outside the normal, regular pattern that we normally see. So that's why science cannot disprove a miracle. So if you can't prove or disprove the resurrection based on your personal experience, you cannot use science to prove or disprove it, what can you do? The only thing that you can do. And this is where I believe Christianity is so much superior compared to a lot of thoughts or philosophies of the world, is because in Christianity, you have what we call eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. Scholars of antiquity have all confirmed of the validity of the ancient writings that we have, that we call the Bible. One of the most ancient writings that we have in our New Testament Bible is a writing written by the Apostle Paul, who used to be called Saul, and he used to persecute the Christians. He used to not like the Christians at all. In fact, Paul had them killed a lot of times. But on the way to Damascus, Paul encountered the risen Jesus Christ, and Jesus asked him, "Why do you persecute me?" And that's where Paul had a change of heart, and he became the biggest proponent of Christianity. And this is what Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Corinth. He said this: "I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me." This is extremely, extremely important. I want to pass it to you. You know, if you're in a classroom and you ask, "Now, is this going to be in the test?" This is going to be in the test. Paul says, this is the most important stuff that you need to know, that Christ died for our sins. That's the reason why he died. He died for your sins and mine, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And that's a beautiful statement. I love that. For those who died in Jesus Christ, we didn't die. We merely have fallen asleep. What does it mean? What happens to a person who falls asleep? They wake up again. Yeah. What a beautiful picture of our future with God, with Jesus Christ. Yeah. And the amazing thing is, Paul said here, Jesus Christ appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. At the same time. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't happen in the corner where nobody saw, and then you just made that claim. Paul said it happened so publicly to this group of people, 500 of them at the same time. You know, you talk to any psychologist, hallucination is possible. Granted, you know, a lot of people think maybe they're hallucinating. Hallucination is possible. In fact, if you lose a loved one, it is possible. You get 50% chance of having hallucinations. That's according to the statistics that I read. You know, if you live with someone long enough and that person passed on, 50% of the time they either hear or feel things, as a part of their hallucination. But only 7% hallucinate visually. Only 7% hallucinate visually. And here's another amazing thing. Talk to any psychologist, there's no such thing as mass hallucination. People hallucinate on their own. You don't hallucinate together at the same time. In fact, if you hallucinate together, that's more of a miracle than the resurrection. All right? So, this is what happened. And then he said this, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, I also saw him, the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. You know, this letter, let me tell you, I want you to put your thinking cap on. This letter was written in AD 55. AD 55. Christ died in about AD 35. You know what that means? There's only a 20-year gap between Christ's death and resurrection and the writing of this letter. 20 years. You know what happened on this day 20 years ago? This is what happened. The shooting at Columbine. I did a research. Teen gunmen, two of them, killed 13 people at the Columbine High School. That's 20 years. How many of you know about this incident or remember this? This is 20 years ago. It's so, like, nearby, right? What if I had told you that the Eagles defeated the Magpies in 2018 AFL Grand Final by beating Collingwood after trailing by 29 points, they won by 5 points. What if you had told me that's a hoax? They didn't really win the premiership. I would say to you, well, well, well. We got a lot of witnesses that saw it. I saw that game live. I saw when McGovern took that very important mark in the dying seconds in the last quarter, right? You know, we all saw it. And you can't say it didn't really happen because there were too many eyewitnesses. And that's exactly what happened. Paul said, you know, you talk to these people. Some of them are still alive. If you don't believe what I say, talk to them. That's what Paul said. And then people still, because of their because they're very skeptical, they said, yeah, that letter may have been written AD 55, but we don't have that original letter, do we? And you would be absolutely right. We don't have the original writing of Paul. What we have are just copy of copy of copy of copy. And here's the amazing thing. Get ready to be blown away, all right? Of all the ancient manuscripts, you know the authenticity of any ancient manuscript by how long the gap is between the time of writing and the earliest manuscript found, right? Check this out. Three manuscripts, just very quickly. This is from Josh McDowell from a book called Evidence That Demands Verdict. He said, look at Caesar, for example, written in 100 to 44 BC. Earliest copies, AD 900, 1,000 years time span. Plato, Tetralogies, written in 427 BC, earliest copies AD 900, 1300 years. Aristotle, 384 BC, earliest copies AD 1100, 1400 years. How about the New Testament? Look at this. That's P46. That's from 2 Corinthians, discovered, roughly dated from 1 to 2 AD. That's only 100 years compared to thousands of years a gap of the other ancient manuscripts. How about P52, John's Gospel? P46, you can find it in the University of Michigan. If you go to Michigan, you can go to the library and find out and have a look at that papyrus yourself. And if you go to Manchester, you can go to the what university? I can't remember which university. But you can check out P52 for yourself as well. So we're talking about only 100-year gap between the earliest copy that we have and the actual time of writing. My point is this. Does that mean it's authentic? Of course not. We don't know for sure. But if you don't question Plato, you don't question Aristotle with that big a gap, why do you question the New Testament? That's just my point, right? You got to be fair. If you want to question the New Testament, you got to question all these ancient manuscripts as well. But the truth is, what we have is super, super reliable. We have eyewitnesses that actually witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why I believe it really, really happened. And then one final thought before we go. Paul said, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, and on the third day, just as the scripture said, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Who was Peter? Who was the 12? They were scared disciples of Jesus Christ. They were nowhere to be seen when Jesus was crucified. They abandoned Jesus Christ. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and that's the reason why I believe he got a special mention in here. And look what happened to them. All of them, according to records, they all died alone. A lot of them, except John, died as martyrs. They actually died for their faith. Stephen was stoned to death by Paul, and the rest of them died for their faith. You don't die for hallucination, do you? You don't die for metaphorical resurrection. You only are willing to die. You're only willing to die if you believe that Jesus really, really rose from the dead. See, nobody expected it. Even the disciples at the beginning, they didn't expect it. When they saw the empty tomb, they thought the body was stolen. You know, they didn't go in front of the tomb on Sunday morning because Jesus predicted his death and resurrection and started believing, yeah, he's going to rise again from the dead. Let's start the countdown. 10, 9, 8. Nobody did that. They're all scattered, scared. But after the resurrection, when they finally realized Jesus really rose from the dead, look how courageous they become. The first century Christians, they died being fed to the lions. for their faith. Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, wrote this. You know, he was given the opportunity to recant his faith, to renounce his faith. Otherwise, he would be burned at the stake. And this is what Polycarp said. 86 years have I served Christ. He has never done me any harm. How then could I blaspheme my King who saved me? I bless thee for considering me worthy of this day, this hour, that I may be among thy martyrs and drink the cup of my Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, he was burned at the stake for his faith. Is that the faith of someone who believed in hoax? I don't think so. You know what's even more amazing? Paul said, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in every single one of us. I pray, Paul said, and this is my prayer for every single one of you as well. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. You have an amazing power within you. You know, in the last few years, people are fascinated with the superhero movies, with the Marvel movies and all that. And for good reason, I love the Marvel movies as well. You know why? Because deep down inside, we all wish that we have some kind of superpower. But you know, the actual truth of the matter is, you all have this amazing superpower. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside every single one of us. Maybe you're thinking, does that mean I can do whatever Christ did? Does that mean I can walk on water? You know, I tried that actually, walking on water. Maybe I'll look for the video and then show you next time. But when we were smaller as a church, you know, I was preaching from Peter stepping out of the boat and walking water, seeing Jesus walking on water. So I went to the Swan River and I put on my wetsuit and I actually tried walking on water. 3 attempts, all failed. So what power is Paul talking about? Let me tell you what power Paul was talking about. What was the greatest miracle that Jesus did? What was the greatest miracle of all? Not feeding 5,000 people, that was amazing. Not raising Lazarus, that was amazing, right? Not healing the sick, that was pretty amazing too. The greatest miracle that Jesus did, of course, other than, you know, rising back to life, is that he was able to change our lives. Our lives that are condemned because of our sins. We were headed for destruction. And because of his death and resurrection, he was able to give us eternal life. That's the most amazing miracle of all. We don't deserve it. And yet the righteousness of Jesus Christ belongs to us who choose to believe him as our Savior. And you have that same power in your life right now. If you feel like you're lacking power, the reason why I believe God wants to bless you financially is so that you can be a blessing financially, so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. The reason why I believe God wants to heal you relationally, that you have a power living inside of you to heal broken relationships, is because I believe with that mended relationship, God wants to use you to proclaim his message of reconciliation to people around you as well. And that's the power that has carried us, you know, from the first century, from the time of the resurrection of Jesus, all the way until now, the year 2019. All throughout history, Christians have given their lives for the sake of the gospel. You go all around the world, you will find organizations like Compassion, helping children in poverty in Jesus' name, so that not only will they get fed and so that they can get to go to school, but so that they will get to know Jesus as their Savior as well. This is my friend, Phil Hepworth. He lives here in Perth. He has this ministry called Water for Africa. You know, he goes there a lot to serve the people of Africa so that they can get clean water. Why does he do that? You know why? Because he has the resurrection power living inside of him. And when you have the resurrection power living inside of you, your life will never be the same again. You know, your life is so much more than just having a good family, a steady job, a secure, you know, retirement. Your life is so much more than that. I'm talking to the Christians right now. Jesus Christ is living in you through his Spirit so that you can continue the good work that he began 2,000 years ago. A lot of people who call this church home, they serve you in this church so that we can continue to proclaim this message loud and clear. Some people have been here as early as 6 o'clock to prepare for today so that we get to enjoy as we reflect on the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we bow down our heads and close our eyes, I want to give you an opportunity. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior before, this is as good a time as any for you to do just that. Do you know that Jesus Christ loved you so much, so much? All you need to do is just look at that cross. His body hung there in pain, bleeding from his head all the way down to his toes. And he did it for you. So that when you believe in him, he promised you that you will not die, but you will have eternal life. So if that's you, maybe you're saying to me, Daniel, please pray for me. I want that eternal life. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I can be set free from this guilt, from this condemnation, from this accusation. I want that free gift of eternal life. If that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And I want all the Christians to say this prayer out loud as well as our support for our new brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have to understand everything there is to know about Christianity. You just need to know that you are not perfect and you are in need of a Savior. You are in need of forgiveness. And that's exactly why Jesus came to this world. He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that includes you, that includes me. So if that's you this morning, why don't you say this prayer out loud with me? Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins. Now I'm forgiven. Now I'm free of my past sins, present sins, even future sins. You paid it all on the cross. Thank you for saving me. I don't deserve it, but I receive it by your grace. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we give a huge round of applause for those who prayed that prayer for the very first time? You know, this is the time when heaven is rejoicing because this is what it's all about. This is the reason why Jesus came. And if that's you, you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you let us know? You can go to our website. You can go to www.therocks.info. Or you can also go to the connection desk and tell us how we can help you in your new journey of faith. We have a free Bible to give you. Just approach any one of our hosts. They would be more than happy to give you a free Bible. And we'd like to help you in your new spiritual journey and congratulate you. So if you would let us know on that decision, that would be really, really great. And for the rest of us Christians, let us take this opportunity for us to dedicate ourselves afresh again to God. We don't have to be afraid of anything. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside every single one of us. Why don't you stand on your feet right now? If you need prayer for whatever reason, please come forward. Our prayer leaders will be standing here. They would love to pray with you and for you. And for the rest of us who are newer to the church, maybe, you know, you don't know anybody here. That's all right. Just talk to any one of us. Or you can go to the new guest lounge in the foyer area on my right to your left. And we'd love to catch up with you there. It is a custom in our church to be dismissed by receiving a prayer of blessing. If you have the faith to receive it, why don't you open your hands and let us receive a blessing from God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you wherever you go. May the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, who lives in you, be evident in your life as you relate to your family, as you relate to your workmates at work, as you relate to your friends at school, as you do things in this world. May the resurrection power be evident in your life so that people around you will be blessed now until Christ comes again to get us even forevermore. All God's people who are blessed, say it together with me. Amen. 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 God bless you, everybody. Happy Easter. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.